Well, those of us living in the valley during the hot days of July and August, we love to head to the coast. And there's beautiful parishes there for us to be able to continue to celebrate the Eucharist and go to Mass when we're on the coast. There's also people that live there and they celebrate their faith there year round. And that is the case for Holy Trinity in Abandon. They are a light by the sea, and they are Mater Dei Radio's Parish of the Week. Joining me this morning to tell us more about what makes Holy Trinity in Bandon a beautiful place to grow in faith, it is their pastor, Father Anthony Ahamefule. Good morning, Father Anthony. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Good morning, Brenda. Thank you for having me here.
Well, Father Anthony, for those who attend St. Cecilia's, they'll remember you so fondly because after your ordination, you were there before assigned to the Holy Trinity. Just remind our listeners who are not familiar with you a little bit about your vocation and how it was that you came from Nigeria to New Jersey and now all the way out to Bandon.
Well, thank you, Brenna, for that wonderful introduction, and once again for having me. My vocation story, really, I call it God leading us where He wants us to be. Because as you mentioned, I am originally from Nigeria, and I came to the U.S. In 2011. And at the time, the reason I came was having finished my college, I wanted to get a master's degree in education. And I was I got admission into Rutgers in New Jersey. And that was the reason I came. And so I lived in Maryland and I went to school in New Jersey. And you may be wondering, well, that's a long distance.
It is. Yeah.
It's a long distance, but the way they structured things for me, then it worked out so well. I had 2-3 days of classes. I come take the classes. I head back home. And during this time, you know, as you know, coming to a new place, everyone, it happens to every human being. You're trying to find your footing. You're trying to get to know your environment and connect with the people. And I wasn't so different. So my first time going to church, 3 weeks after I arrived in the U.S. back then, it was a unique experience for me. As a young man at the time, I was, I think, 26, 27 at the time. And still a young man, I think.
But
at the time, I went to church the first time, and the community of faith, the parishioners at the local parish, St. Thomas More, they, at the end of Mass, you know, they were so welcoming and trying to get to know me and trying to get me involved in parish life, in all aspects of parish life. You know, and just that experience itself of the community of faith, the people of God within the context of the Eucharist, I still remember that because my vocation story would not be complete without that step, without that experience. It was someone new, someone trying to kind of find your footing, someone, in a sense, lost in this new place and trying to get, you know, to have really a strong connection, if you may. For that to happen within the context of the Eucharistic celebration, it's divine providence. That's the way it's divine intention, divine providence. And as that community of faith was a great influence for me, I became really part of it. You know, I remember the pastor, because it's a small parish, it's like Bandon, the small parish. The pastor then wanted me to be altar server and lector and usher, and the list goes on. And I participated the best I could at the time as a student. Now, during that time also, you know, occasionally, as pastors do, you know, he would chip in, "Have you thought about being a priest?" And I will always respond, "You know, Father, yes, I thought about being a priest in the past, but now I think I just want to get a formal education. Get a degree in education and teach." And my mom was an elementary school teacher. So my mom has a great influence on me in terms of wanting to teach. And so that was the nature of my conversation with the pastor and my participation at the parish and just being Eucharistic in nature. That parish was very, very dear to my heart, in my vocation to the priesthood. So while I was going to school, we decided, some of my classmates, we decided to take a vacation. And one of my classmates was from Portland, Oregon. I haven't been to the west of the US ever before. And so we, a group of friends, we decided let's just take a vacation and go west. So we came first to Portland. And our plan was to have a road trip, drive down to California and come up and then fly back and continue with our studies. But something happens. God, when he has a plan, he has a way of guiding us, of leading us. If we're open to it, to that plan. And then during the time I was here in our first few days of vacationing in Oregon at the time, we were in Beaverton area. So I went to Mass that Sunday, and it was at St. Cecilia's in Beaverton. And it's interesting, it's in hindsight, you see how God lines things up and guides us. And that happened in my life. And during Mass, announcement time, I heard the announcement, and this was in January of all times. And nobody takes vacations in January, but somehow, young students, we wanted to take a vacation in January before school starts, and we did. And during Mass announcement time, it was announced, oh, the Archdiocese of Portland has this retreat that is coming up. It's called Archbishop's Discernment Retreat. And I heard the announcements, and knowing my background and all these experiences, and the voice of my pastor ringing in my ears, have you given it a try? You make a good priest. I said, okay, I'll do this for two reasons. One is about discernment, and I'm discerning at the time, not necessarily about priesthood, but discerning where is God leading me as a young person. And secondly is I want to, when I go back, I say to my pastor, I followed your recommendation. I tried something so he could stop bothering me type thing. And I went on the retreat. And it was a wonderful time. It was a wonderful experience. And I say this because for so many of the young men out there who are discerning life, discerning where God is calling you to, we have the Archbishop Discernment Retreat every January, and it's a wonderful place for you to really think about within the context of prayer and the community and support from the Archbishop and from the vocations director to really listen to what God is saying to you and where God is leading you, because that happened to me. And I went on that retreat and joined my friends. We continued our vacation. We went back. And the vocations director at the time kept following up with all of us, everyone who went on the retreat, and that was a great move by him. And after much conversation with him, I decided to once again give it a trial about the priesthood, and that was how I moved from Maryland to joined the Archdiocese of Portland, and I went to school at Mount Angel Seminary. I was ordained in 2016. And after ordination, my first assignment, of course, guess where it was? The place where it all, I wouldn't say started, but the place that it started for me in Oregon, St. Cecilia's in Beaverton. And wonderful parish. I love the parishioners, their faith, and their love for the Lord. And I was there for 2 years before I was reassigned here in Bandon.
And Bandon. Well, Father Anthony is joining us today. He is the pastor of Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Bandon. You've been the pastor there for 8 years, and it is a parish that is growing in faith day by day by day. And you've got some big projects coming up. We want to know more about our parish of the week. Father, I'm already against my break. Can you stay with me through the break so we can continue in our next half hour?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I'm back with Father Anthony Ahamefule. He is the pastor at Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Bandon, and they are our parish of the week. I love that they call themselves a light by the sea. And for sure, Christ's light shines so brightly for all of his parishioners there. Father Anthony, thank you so much for being with me this morning.
Oh, thank you very much, Brennan, for having me.
So, Father Anthony, people in the metro area would think, boy, that's quite a shift to be able to go from New Jersey and then to the Portland area and staying in and serving at St. Cecilia's in Beaverton, and then to go so far away, really the one of the farthest churches for the Archdiocese of Portland. There you serve at and Bandon. Tell our listeners, just give us a feel for that parish, because I think maybe in the summer months looks a little bit different than what it does in the fall and winter months.
Absolutely, Brenda. It's Holy Trinity Bandon is actually the second oldest parish along the Oregon coast.
Wow.
And yes, you know, after Astoria. Astoria is the first one along the Oregon coast. And Holy Trinity Bandon is the second oldest, established in 1883. And since 1883, it's been a journey of faith. You know, you brought up how I came from East Coast to West Coast and then down to Bandon. And, you know, one thing about that experience is wherever the Lord calls us, there's a reason why he calls us there. And there's a reason why the Archbishop sent me to from St. Cecilia's to Bandon. And I think the only reason for that is for the work of Christ, for the work of the gospel to continue to flourish. You know, I remember the Great Commission. Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 28, go into the whole world, right? And proclaim the good news, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I think that message continues to resound. Everyone take us on mission. We're a church on mission to the whole world. And that's what led me to Bandon. And here in the community of Bandon, the parish of Bandon, it has been truly God guiding us as we gather every time to celebrate the Eucharist, as we gather every time for all the parish activities, our spiritual time, our pastoral life, and all the other activities of the parish. It's always about that mission and listening to the voice of Christ. And I think Bandon has listened to that voice of Christ, the parishioners here, for several years. We've had conversations about our new church project going on now. It began, I think, about 15, 20 years ago. And at the time, the parish went through a lot to be able to come together now and be able to begin this wonderful project of building a new church. The first church, built in 1883, burnt down in 1936. And in 1936, there was fire in Bandon that burnt almost everything down, including the church and everything we had here. And it was a trying time, not only for the community of Bandon, but even in the world at the time. You know, you can imagine it wasn't a great time economically for people. It was kind of during the time of Great Depression. And you know, but something, the grace of God continues to flourish. That mission, the gospel, the Eucharistic faith was in the heart of the people. That in 1937, it took about 3 to 4 months for the church we demolished to be constructed.
Wow.
Yes. And many people, and this is interesting, many of the parishioners who came together in 37 to construct this new church, their own homes also burnt in the fire. So they didn't have homes at the time. And they were able to come together. And when we think about that in Bandon, today we think God's light, that light by the sea, has been shining in people's lives. That light of faith has always been there in good times and in bad. 3, 4 months. It was meant to be a temporary place, but it lasted for about 80 years.
Mm.
And so this year, we broke ground on July 13th, and the groundbreaking was a wonderful celebration for all of us. But even before groundbreaking, there has been a lot of work that went into the planning, The community came together. Our parishioners sacrificed so much. They gave their time, their resources, their efforts to make sure that we build a house for the Lord so that the Catholic faith will continue to flourish here in Bandon, and that the gospel may continue to be served, to be preached and proclaimed to people here in Bandon and even beyond. And so the church, the new church construction is going on, is very exciting for our parishioners. I am so blessed and really privileged to be the pastor seeing this project through, but it would not happen without our parishioners and without so many friends that have supported us to make sure that that light of Christ, that light by the sea, continues to shine today and for generations to come. And I will tell you this, you know, we have a conference, we have a youth group, and in our youth group, we have kids who are also preparing for confirmation. And I said to the kids back in April of this year, those who are ready for confirmation, there's a group who are ready for confirmation, and we're going to send them, because in the South Coast, we gather together as a vicariate to celebrate confirmation. And so I said to them, you are all, we're planning for you to receive the sacrament of confirmation. And next year, you know, God willing, if we finish the church on time, we'd be a great place to host confirmation, right? For the vicariate, for the South Coast vicariate. And the next group, the other half of the room, they will be the first to be confirmed in the new church if we host confirmation. And guess what happened, Brenda? The candidates, they said, you know, Father, is it possible for us to wait till next year so that we will be part of the group that will be confirmed in the new church if that happens?
See, that is just the proof that we need to know and understand that our church is our home. And what we love is what we put our time and our resources to. And it is very evident for the parishioners there at Holy Trinity in Bandon that your church, that is their home, and they will do what it takes and be excited for a new church building. Well, that is beautifully underway. Now, you've talked a little bit about your parishioners. You do have a youth group, it sounds like, too. Just give us an understanding and a cross section of the families that attend there.
Well, thank you, Brenda, for that question. Our parishioners here, you know, Bandon is, we have parishioners of different demographics, right? And but we also have different groups and ministries within the parish. We have, of course, the Altar Society. We have the Knights. We have the we have our youth group. We also have what we call the young adults, let me put it that way, group. But this is a new group in the parish, also a new ministry in the parish. We started during Lent. And during that time, it was young families, this group made up of moms and dads with that have young kids. Because we decided, we have a gap in our community. We have Knights of Columbus, we have Altar Society, we have our Bible study group, and these groups are meeting during the week, and they're able to meet at any time, and it wasn't working for working families. They're not able to go to Bible class. They're not able to participate in their parish life, in ministry. Even when we have retreats, it's difficult for them to participate. So during Lent, we decided that one of our small faith sharing groups during Lent will be for these groups, young parents. And it has been a source of really blessing for the families and for the parish. Because since Lent till today, this particular ministry in the parish, they have been meeting every Sunday evening, and they are growing. All the working families, all the young moms and dads, they come to this meeting, and they love it. And it became their own Bible study group, their Bible class, and their prayer group. And they get to meet each other, and they get to connect with each other. And many of them don't even know each other. As you know, some people go to Saturday Mass, some go to Sunday Mass, so you don't know who is who until something brings us together. And it has been a source of spiritual growth for them and for the parish. Now, from there, many of them then, whose kids are not part of our religious education program, now enroll their kids in religious education program. And it so happened that this year also, two of the parents joined and became a catechist, and they're going through training now to begin leading some of our classes for religious education and teaching the kids. And none of this would have happened if that first step of having small faith sharing group during Lent never happened. And so the young families with their children, they are so energized. Many of the kids are altar serving now, and they are so energized and they are so involved in parish life right now that even within their own family, they are seeing fruits of it. And we're so grateful for that. And everyone in the parish, the grandparents and our older parishioners, they are all very excited to see this and to support, these young families and our youth ministry and religious education.
Oh, I love that. Our faith has lived so beautifully there at Holy Trinity Church, and we are just so excited to be able to have this conversation today to tell you that you are Mater Dei Radio's Parish of the Week and shine this light on your light by the sea. Father, thank you for being with me today. Before we go, will you end us in a prayer and your blessing?
Absolutely, absolutely. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the gift of faith you've bestowed upon us. We thank you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that strengthens and sanctifies and gives us the tools we need, the gift we need to proclaim the good news. Be with us. Bless Mater Dei Radio. Bless Holy Trinity Parish in Bandon. Bless the Archdiocese of Portland in our mission, Lord. May you be our strength. May you protect your people. May you guide us always through Christ our Lord. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father Anthony, thank you so much for time today. God bless you and all of the parishioners there at Holy Trinity.
Thank you very much, Brenda.